So we're going to have a little fun today. If you were expecting Matt Gonzalez and his dad, they had a family emergency come up. Their 92-year-old grandmother had a stroke this weekend, so and she doesn't look like she's going to make it, so they're with family. So just please pray for him today and this week as they're going through that. So he's not here this morning. He sends his love. And then my father and mother are in Texas. Yes. Speaking there at a church, they did a wedding for a family friend this weekend, and they're speaking in Texas, so they send their love also on this great day. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to Abraham, and he told Abraham that he was going to be a father, he not only gave him the promise of being a father, but he also said, hey, you're also going to have a nation. And then he also went a little farther and said, in your nation, your family, you being a father is going to be a blessing to all nations. And that's, I think, part of being a father, is that you get to not only bless your household, but you get to bless the world around you. And that's what we get to be as fathers. We get to be called to be blessings to the world around you. And speaking of the 12 tribes of Israel, I'm going to invite my first guest up this morning. Would you help welcome Craig Ferris? So, a couple reasons I invited him up first. One, he has a basketball team for a family. But also, I've known Craig now for almost 30 years, which I know dates both of us, so I can feel safe to say that, since it dates both of us.
We met in kindergarten.
That is kind of true. But since, we are dads, so we can't embellish the truth there a little bit. We've known each other for 30 years, and just this man is my... Why did you do this to me? Dave, you're not even up here yet, and you're having an influence on me. But he's an amazing, amazing friend, amazing father, and I am just so proud of him. Thanks, Mark. Thank you. But I am just one of the many people that I'm proud of, but probably the most proud of how you've lived your life. So I don't keep going towards the Kleenex. Why don't you... People that don't know you, why don't you share a little bit about yourself and your family?
It's just going to be a hard morning to follow stuff up for me. Man. So if you don't know me, I say this pretty regularly. The one thing you'll remember about me is I have 12 kids. And you probably won't remember that fact because everybody asked me, was it 19? Was it 17? It's 12. 12 children. Beyond that, a description of myself, I'll get spiritual on you and just go, I am a passionately intense individual for the expansion of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So if you could remember those two things, you got me pretty much summed up.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Because I know I have trouble doing this with my 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
What are your kids' names?
Oh, hot dog. Thank God. Tamara, Trisha, Brittany, Bethany, Logan, Levi, James, John, Sarah, Savannah, Madison, and Maverick.
And you have one set of twins.
James and John.
Which were magically, one of them has an amazing middle name, but we won't go there. But they're an amazing family, and they're all back there. And I would have to tell you, they have 12 kids, and when we hang out with them, I'm always amazed that there's 12 kids in the house, because it never seems like there's 12 kids in the house. They are one of the most behaved, fun families to be around. So
you've and that's all due to my fathering.
Yes. Yes. Is that what Shannon said you can say today?
Is that okay, babe? Yeah. Are we all right? I mean, because if you know my wife, you know that has no truth in it at all.
Yes, she amazing wife, which we both have amazing wives, which make us good fathers.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, that's the key. If you want to be a good father, have a good wife.
That's it. You can't be a father without a wife.
Yeah. So on Father's Day, you know, what's great about Father's Day, it's the day that your kids and your wife let you think you can make the decisions.
Yeah.
Right? They actually let you think that, even though you have no control over Father's Day.
No.
Yeah. So what are you doing today?
What are we doing today?
Perfect. So let's get on to some more fun stuff. So as a father of 12, you know, you range from, now I'm going to get myself in trouble, 23 down to
one.
So what is it like raising kids, especially with the range, and how does that work? How do you do that as a kingdom father and as an earthly father?
Okay. As an earthly father, I fail every day. And that's the key. The key is recognizing that you fail and knowing when to say sorry and how to correct it. So every day is a day where I'm not failing into a place of depression, but I'm failing my place into success because my Heavenly Father makes everything good. So raising kids from 1 to 23 is, it's an adventure. I mean, so I got to know on an adventure when I don't have a map that I got to trust the one who does. So I get to rely on the voice of God in every day because you can imagine the things that come up. I mean, we have our four oldest are all adults, but they're all still home, which is awesome for us. I know some people are cringing. It's okay. But for us, that's it. It is a dream come true. That we know they're going to at some point leave, but right now they're happy being at home. That's amazing to me. I'm good with that. Yeah. But you can imagine adult problems, teenage problems, toddler problems, diapers, lots of diapers. But every day I get to go to the Father and say, what's today look like? And the answer is always extravagant because we've got such a vast array of children that we're going on an adventure with each one. It's not just a family adventure. It's a family adventure that includes 14 individuals, and all of us are pursuing a destiny. And so that's what it's like. You get to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What are we going to do today? And then the response is, who are we talking about?
No, it's really good. I think that is the key, is it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
As long as you're relying on the Holy Spirit to help you clean them up.
Yep.
That's really good. I think as dads, you feel that pressure of being perfect. And we all know that we're not. And so when we blow it, what do we do? So what do you do when you blow it? How do you deal with that and then move forward and not let that just keep building up in you?
Internally, it becomes an easy conversation for me, but it's been practice. So now it's easy. In the early days, I'd crush myself and spend 4 days trying to figure out what I did wrong, why I did it wrong. Now for me, I look at my Heavenly Father, and because He's so good and because everything works for good, then I have to rely on that. So my internal conversation goes, Jesus, I screwed it up. Could I get a little help? And the truth is, that's really the extent of my conversation, internally. Externally, my bad, guys. Sorry about that. But it really is about, externally, it's about how you communicate and understand how they're going to receive. Dad did something again. But internally, it's, I have a perfect picture of what a father is. I didn't measure up to that. Can we fix this? And then from that point on, I move according to the picture that's provided.
Yeah, it's really good. Something that, you know, I've learned that from you is that internal, dealing with that internal and how to, and something that, you know, God's really helped me with. I was talking with someone, and that was not making really wise decisions as a father. That was making some horrible choices. And I was talking to him about it, and he just kept saying, kind of blaming his dad for all these issues. And they weren't like the dad was a horrible person. It was just they were using it as an excuse. And the Holy, and I'm listening partly because I didn't know what to say. Like, how do I help this guy? And the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart was, hey, just tell him how do you see your dad? And so, you know, my dad was an amazing dad, but he wasn't perfect at all. I know that might be a shocker to all of you. But he wasn't perfect. He was, you know, nobody is. And so what the Holy Spirit said, look, what you do is where your dad wasn't good, you just get to be better. You get to try to be better. And part of this conversation is, as a dad, you don't have to be perfect. Like you said, you have that internal talk, you have that conversation with the family members that you've maybe have screwed it up with. But the Holy Spirit is so good about helping your kids know how to deal when dad messes up. And I think we forget that our kids have the Holy Spirit too. And he'll help them help you help them. So I think, you know, again, it comes back to just relying on the Holy Spirit for yourself, but also for your family. And you've done an amazing job with that, with your kids, of teaching them about the Holy Spirit. So thank you. You're amazing. I learned from him so much. It's amazing. I had a great father, but I get to learn from other great fathers. So with that, let's invite some other fathers up. We got some amazing fathers that have been part of our lives for a long time and have been father figures to us. So if you guys could help me welcome up Joe Girardo and Dave Miller and Jeffrey Walker. Thank you. These are amazing men that just so happen to be fathers too. Here you go, guys. Just pick a stool, grab a mic. Looks like you sat in the right spot, Dave. So have your kids, they bet this morning? They have a bet going this morning?
My kids, every time I talk, Meryl is, I'm going to pick on you. That's my daughter-in-law with my grandkids back there. But they take they take bets as to how soon I'll cry. And sometimes Monica and Brent get in on it, and they're around here somewhere.
Yes. Awesome. Well, these men are amazing. Jeffrey, you guys have been around for about three...
We came summer of 2018. Yeah. But we've been associated ever since somewhere around 2009. We've been attending conferences and engaged with the Mission family. So
it's been so great to get to know this family, an amazing family. So why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and your family?
So I came to California, active duty military, Travis Air Force Base, and so... Thank you, guys. And met my wife, Sharon, back there in the back while I was living in the dorms, long distance. And so we got married, and she moved out here with me. And while active duty, we had two of our children, Hannah and Hope, our first two girls. And then as a reservist, we had our son, Elisha. And currently, since separating from active duty, recently started the process and recently become a reserve Air Force chaplain. So yeah. It's been a great journey with that. So.
That's amazing. Beautiful daughters and a great son.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dave, why don't you, for those people that don't know you, why don't you share a little bit about you and your family?
Okay. So I'm Dave Miller. My wife, Phyllis, is over there. She's probably hiding. And we have five children. When Phyllis and I got married, we had two boys already. And then we had three more. And I'm a slacker compared to these guys because we only have five. But They range, they're about 19 years from oldest to youngest. And Keenan's the oldest, Monica's the youngest. And it's been a lot of fun. I understand what Dano talks about when he talks about the range and how long you have teenagers in your house.
Yes. Yeah, some of those teenagers were in youth when I was doing youth.
They were.
Amazing kids.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Joe.
Yes,
the
I'm
man
gone.
With the amazing family. He likes to stay in the background
Very
and
much.
Let his family shine. So why don't you tell a little bit about your family and
Hi,
yourself.
My name is Joe Estrada. I got a wonderful wife, Colleen. And I got seven great kids from 35 down to 13.
Yeah.
And they're great kids.
And they're your kids. And they're amazing. So thank you, guys. Dave and Joe have been here for almost 30 years.
22
for Dave, and then Joe, I think you were here when we got here.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been part of this family for a long time, and they're also part of our Council of Elders. So they're not only fathers to they're a father to this house, and they're just amazing. They've been fathers to me. They're father figures to me. You know, I had an amazing dad, but it's always great to have amazing men and fathers to look at and glean from. So thank you so much. So Craig's got some questions for you. He's going to kick us off here a little bit with you guys.
Can you guys give me the funniest moment you had as a dad? I know it's on the spot, but the funniest moment you can think of as a dad.
In what way?
Yeah.
That's for them laughing at me?
Yeah, funny well, for the kids or funny
I prefer
for them?
Okay, laugh at them.
Let's say the funniest moment for them. This just recently happened. My son Matthew turned 16. And we were doing games and stuff, so we went to the little park downtown in Winters. And it has a enclosed soccer field, a little asphalt field. And we're playing, Pac-Man, where there's certain people in the middle and there's teams all on one end, and they say Pac-Man, Pac-Man, maybe cross the track, man. And they say, yes, if you're wearing blue. So whoever's wearing blue would run across to get the other side, and they tag you, you freeze. And then they repeat the process. Well, one of the last times they said it, I'm running across, and all of a sudden, my body's gone before my fate. I tumble, I bit the asphalt, and my sons are in the back, my older boys. We got it on video. They're back there cracking up, and the younger teenagers, oh, you all right, Pop? You all right?
So the older ones were laughing at you,
oh,
and the younger ones want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it is in my house, too. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
So that was it for us.
The truly funniest one, I cannot tell. So I'll go to number two. But number two, Brent was there, and we were on vacation in North Carolina at my wife's sister's house, and my brother-in-law, who has a boat but doesn't really know how to drive it, was trying. Anyway, he's pulling into the dock, and he can't get the boat into the dock. And so he says, Dave, grab that oar right there and grab the cleat on the dock and pull us in. So I can do that, right? So I grabbed the oar and put it up against the cleat, and I pulled, and the oar fell in half, right? And so I didn't fall in yet, but then I thought, well, I'll just grab the dock, and I'll pull the boat in. So I grabbed the dock, and amazingly, when I pulled, the boat went the other way. So I knew what was about to happen, and it did. I was completely down. I come up. My brother-in-law and my son are standing there like this, and my wife, in her great wisdom, says, who's got a camera? Get it on camera. So I think the rest of the kids shared with that when we came home and showed them the video.
Fun.
Well, fortunately, I don't think mine's going to be quite as funny, but one night we had gone to Chick-fil-A for dinner, and the kids were passing the lemonade in the back of the seat, and so my two girls are kind of tussling over the lemonade, and my wife Sharon says, Hope, count to 10, and Hannah will give them the lemonade back to you. And Hope says, I don't want to count to 10. It's not a beautiful number.
That's good. Smart girl. Very smart girl. Well, you know, we kind of ran, you got, Joe and Dave, you both have grandchildren. You have young children. What would you, if you could go back to your young self before you had children, what would you tell them as a father? Now that you've raised some kids, you may have some grandkids, what would you tell your young self before you had kids that you wish you would have known then?
Lighten up.
Right?
I was too harsh initially. And I think my kids, even today, they'll tease me, did Dad give you the stare? You know, and so that kind of stuff, right? And so, but I was too harsh. And as the kids kept coming, I think they got a little, I got a little better as they came on down the road. But yeah, I think the first one was just, don't take yourself so seriously. And you guys talked about it this morning. Admit when you're wrong and ask them to forgive you.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a lot of my issue when I was younger, is be patient, you know, be kind, and love them for who they are, you know, because growing up in a household of that many kids myself, you didn't hear that a lot. So that was
good. That's good. Jeffrey, what would you tell your younger self?
My younger self, I've actually encountered this question before in a Sozo meeting, and I fortunately... I don't remember what I said, but you know, I think about my son. My son has my first name, and I didn't have my son at that time. So, but you know, I don't know all the things that they're going to encounter in life, you know. But you know, of course, my rock, my anchor, if you will. Has been the Lord, and so I would just encourage them to, no matter what they experience, to always keep their faith in God. So,
yeah, that's good. Craig, what would you tell your young self? I know you're young and beautiful, but
don't eat so much. Kids are faster than you think. I'd probably tell them God is far more integral to your everyday life than you can imagine. Don't ever miss a chance to ask a question.
Yeah, that's good.
So, if you can you guys tell me what one of the hardest things has been about being a father and how you kind of overcame that? So just to give you a second to think about it to get an answer. These are questions my kids threw at me last night. So I didn't think of these all on my own. When Ryan said, hey, could you do this? Maybe bring some questions. I looked at all my kids and said, what would you want to know from me? Which they came up with great questions, obviously, but made fun of me the entire time. So one of the hardest things is asking your children for help. Don't do that. So what do you think, Jeffrey?
For me is they're always making fun of me, so and is that no matter where they are in life, no matter what mistakes they make, you love them for who they are, and they say true to yourself, because that father is true to you. And don't ever change for anybody, just because of you think worried about what anybody's going to think. You're you, be you, and that's all that matters.
That's good.
What's the question?
What's one of the hardest things you've had to do as a dad, and how did you overcome it?
You want them to make good decisions. And sometimes they don't make the decisions you would make. But but you let them do it. Sometimes they learned the hard way, and sometimes they made the right decision. But that would might be the toughest one, is wanting them to make a decision the way I would make it, and then watching them choose another decision, and just having to say, God, they're yours. And they might be the one making the right decision. It's not just that I make all the right decisions. No. They might be the one.
That's good.
I think for me, one of the hardest thing has been setting aside my own pursuit of perfection or ambition, and taking time to, when I was in school studying, it was hard for me. Just honestly, I had to struggle with trying to get good grades and spending time with my family, and setting aside my own pursuit of my own success, ambition, and focusing on them, and also not imposing, on them, giving grace, not, expecting perfection from them as well. So there have been times when I had to readjust, my expectations and have more grace for my kids. So,
yeah.
You want to fill that one, Ryan?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things was that every kid's different. You know, you have the first one, and you kind of figure it out, and then the second one comes along, and they're totally different. And now you have to totally figure out how to be a dad again. And then by the time you figure that one out, then the other one's now getting older. Now you have to figure that all out again. And you can't just treat them all the same. Like, my daughter's very different than my son. You heard from her. My son wouldn't even say a word, even if I tried to paint him. He wouldn't say a word. So they're just so different, and learning that you have to treat them different and what they need. Every kid is different, what they need. And as a dad, you get the privilege of figuring that out. And some kids are easier. Some kids, they just need a hug, and they're good to go. Some kids, you have to sit in the car with them and listen to them nonstop talking for 2 hours. Even though you've done that already with their mother for 3 hours. And now you got to do it again with... My daughter's amazing, and we've figured it out. I know she just wants to talk, so I just sit there. But there are days when I'm like, baby, I can't do this today. Maybe later, but right now I need some quiet. And we've worked that out. We've figured it out. But that's it. I think that's one of the hardest things is figuring out what each kid needs. And every day it could be different. And so that could be the hard thing is when you don't realize that and you make the mistake of treating them like you think you thought they needed to be that way, and it totally goes wrong, and now you're in the doghouse, and you get to figure it out. You get to have a talk with the Holy Spirit, and He gets to help you. So, well, we're just about out of time, so is there any last things that you would like to just encourage any dads here that might be struggling or just about to become a dad, or just encourage the fathers here today and online? So whoever wants to jump in there.
I think you guys have said it earlier, and that kids are resilient. They really are. You think when you first have a kid that they're going to break, and that's not true. They rarely do. Monica did twice, though, so I can't say that for you. But they don't usually break. They're gonna love you because you're dad, right? And there's a lot of forgiveness in that, because they There's a secret. They know you're not perfect. They already know it, right? So just be honest with them. And you know, a lot of Holy Spirit prayer helps, right? A ton. But be honest with them. And that's my thing, is that they're not going to get, they're going to recover. And if they don't, like you said, they're sozo. And we can fix it. So,
Me for your dads, for you dads. Talk to them. Just talk to them. Because that wasn't a lot in my life growing up. But talk to them and ask them how they're feeling, what's going on with them. And they're going to tell you.
That's good.
And I would say some of this, just in a slightly different way, but, you know, when I think about the way that God breathed life into Adam, he breathed his spirit into him. And so, and I think that's also the birth experience that Jesus was referring to when he says, you know, be born again, be born of the Spirit. But I believe it's just imparting our spirit to them, our presence. I'd say that presence, as we've said over and over again, you know, we're not perfect, but presence is better than absence. And your integrity, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. So your righteousness and your integrity will pass down to your kids as well. So.
That's really good.
One more thing, Ryan. Yeah. So my dad didn't do this, but my wife always encouraged me to, is tell your kids often you love them. They can't hear it enough.
Yeah.
And hug them.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of dads don't really hug their kids.
Even if it embarrasses them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and so hug your kids and tell them you love them, and it'll go a long way. Yeah.
That's good, Dave. Craig, any last words?
Two things. Fixing it and success. Redefine both of those. We have an innate desire to fix things and to define success. But we have a good father that has a whole different definition. So allow him to redefine, no matter what you think is going to fix a situation, or no matter what you think success looks like for your children, allow him to give you that definition.
I just wanted to say, earlier, you know, you and Craig were kind of in jest, and you were saying that the one good thing that you did was to have a good wife. But I think there's a lot that kids get when the marriage is good. And so yeah. I think loving if you're a married dad, you know, loving your wife,
amen,
it sets the tone for the home. So I think that's, even though they're said in jest, kind of, I think that's really important. So
it's good. Why don't you guys give these guys a hand? Just stay up here, though. You have to stay here, though. Yeah. They're amazing. Yes. So if we can have all the dads remain standing or stand up, we want to pray a blessing over you. Dave's going to release a blessing over you. We're so glad that you were born and that you became fathers. Your kids should adore you because they would not be around without you, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. But we just love you and we just honor you, and you are so important. So Dave's going to play. And don't forget about donuts afterwards. And then prophetic teams we'll have for the dads after service here in just a minute. So once Dave's done playing a blessing over you, you can line up and get a prophetic word this morning.
So I do want to ask a quick question.
One more thing, real quick, if I may. Today is my daughter's birthday, Megan. Happy birthday, Meg.
Yeah.
Good job, Joe. So one thing, just a quick question, and this is, how many of you, and this doesn't have to be just dads, but how many of you don't have a greatest memory of your dad?
Oh, that's good.
So there's a way to fix that. And I'm going to pray with you, and if you'll help me, we'll fix it. So picture that point in your life, and if you can forgive your dad for whatever happened, do that now. Say it out loud, I forgive you, Dad. Okay. Now, release any pain that's with that. And in the name of Jesus, I break every spirit of rejection off of these men and people who are standing. We cancel every assignment of the enemy that relates to their father. And I declare now that they can remember their father and love their father, and that the impact on their life will be a change today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask you to bless all the fathers this morning. Father, you are the father to the fatherless. And so those who didn't have fathers, we bless them as well. But, Father, on these men, they have been designed by you to have a role in a family. I bless that role in that family today, that leadership role, that role of just loving their children, loving their spouse, Father. And Father, we're not the best, but your Holy Spirit, you can fill every gap in us that needs to be filled. So today, Father, I declare over them that the Holy Spirit come and fill the gaps in these men's hearts and lives that isn't just perfect yet, and that they're working on. But we declare a healing and a gap filling in Jesus' name over them. Bless them and their families. May they just sense the love of their families today like they haven't sensed before. Father, just let them enjoy that time, whether it's on a phone call or people in person. But, Father, remind them of how good their family is and how much loved they are. And thank you for loving us, and thank you for coming for us and just being our great example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Well, if you're part of the prophetic teams, if you go ahead, head on over and get ready for our fathers. Man, that was such a good morning. Thank you guys again so much for sharing your hearts. And fathers, have an amazing day. We love you. Next week, we start our kids program back up on Sunday morning. So it's going to be amazing. It's been so fun having them in here, but they get to go have some fun and be around each other. So love you guys. Have a great week. Have a blessed day.